just
100%.
say magnifique. You know, did I tell you about Dennis Rodman's story?
No.
I didn't tell you about him and his experience on the yacht with all those women.
No. But I'm
Oh,
listening.
so I don't know if he's actually retold this story anyplace else. I haven't heard it anyplace else. But, you know, back in the heyday for Dennis, he was obviously messing with a bunch of women and openly doing so. And that, you know, whatever, that's the deal. So we had him on 1 year for the Grammys, as a matter of fact. And he was pushing some bullshit. I can't remember what the product was. Nonetheless, you know, when Dennis comes on, excuse me, he is unfiltered and he will talk about anything. And so I think I asked him just like, what's the highest number of women you've ever been with? And he's like, at one time? And I'm like, yeah, at one time. And he hit me with a 12. I was like, 12, 12, 12, Dennis, because I was hella scared. 12. What do you do? 12 women. Yeah, man, 12. And then he proceeded to tell his story about how he's with a different chick on this yacht. They were by themselves. And how can I say this? Fuck it. He went in on the downstroke a little too hard. And he said his dick broke. He said his shit bent in half and blood was shooting everywhere.
Oh, come on.
He said he tore his dick in almost in half, and he said the blood was squirting out the side of it. And
Oh, come on.
the woman he was with was going ape shit. He said
Naturally.
I got lightheaded. I almost passed out. They had to take me to the doctor and sew me up. And I was like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, I mean
Oh boy.
that is the most Dennis Rodman-like story I
Yeah,
could
man.
imagine. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
De
like
Dennis,
I
yeah. Dennis Rodman broke his he broke his dick, having aggressive, presumably unprotected sex. Yes, that completely makes
presumably,
sense. Yeah.
which is so weird. Like, exactly what did you think you were doing to this woman's vagina? Like, you weren't babies come out of there, so you clearly not, I mean, what are you planning on doing?
I mean, but listen, I if there's one thing I think we can all agree on as a populace is that the Dennis Rodman we see publicly is real and genuine. Like
Yeah, man.
of course Dennis Rodman would have sex exactly how he plays basketball. You know what I mean?
Very physical.
Very physical, very aggressively, you know, it's just bordering on, hey man, you're doing a little bit too much. It really doesn't call for all that. But then you just like, well, I guess there's a method to his madness. So you just kind of let it go, right? You know, I mean, it's just like would you really expect Dennis Rodman to be like a, you know, a very soft and sensual lover? No, you expect it.
A gentle lover.
Exactly right. No, you. This is a guy who would purposely tip basketballs
To
to himself to give himself a rebounding advantage. Like, yeah, it tracks.
I mean, yeah. Now that I think about it, of course it makes sense. Like, of
Yeah.
course it happened to Dennis Rodman. That's hilarious.
And you know, and the thing about Dennis Rodman, and you know, he's a wild boy, and he's on
Yeah.
that list of, you know, with Mike Tyson and Keith Richards,
Yeah.
like you can't believe that that motherfucker's still alive
How do you
because
do it?
their behavior would lead you to believe that their time on this planet was short. And for Dennis Rodman to be out there in the late 80s, early 90s, when AIDS was still a thing,
Man.
for Dennis Rodman to be out there sport fucking and he ain't catch the HIV. I mean, that dude might be immune to it because Dennis Rodman was getting down.
It just goes to show how much money and power and fame, how seductive those things are to people. How seductive they are. I mean, Madonna was with this dude. Carmen Electra was with this dude.
Yeah, man.
Amazing. Mick Jagger. I saw Mick Jagger's new, well, not, no, she's a new wife, but she's a 37-year-old wife. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, Mick, good for you. I'm like, no other 80-year-old man is pulling that. Like, no. You only Mick Jagger. Mick Jagger. All right. Well, you know what? Speaking of another sport dick, I don't know if you heard this story. your boy Drake, clearly, apparently.
How is he my boy? I don't understand this. I've never listened to a Drake song purposely. I've never downloaded any of his content.
Well, I'll tell you what.
I genuinely mock him every chance I get. How did he become my boy?
I'm telling you what, I have to stop mocking him. Because your boy apparently is rocking the hog. And this was leaked yesterday all over the interwebs. And I was like, get the fuck out of here.
Hold on.
There's
pictures of Drake's baby maker out there on the internet.
Video. Not
video.
Video, bro. Video, motherfucking O. And this dude is. I said, brother, you're gonna be in porn when this is over, because that thing, it's frightening. It's frightening.
Well, and Drake's not the biggest guy. I mean,
he's a tall dude. He's like 6'1". Okay. Yeah, like 6'1".
Oh, I didn't know that. See, that shows you how little I know about Drake. Every time I look at him, he looks to me like a guy who is under the average height for the North American male, which is 5'9". So, okay, all right, he's 6'1". Okay. I mean, you know, he ain't going to post me up, but all right.
No. Most of us ain't posting you up, Rob. You got a little bit more height than the average dude.
He ain't going to get a clean look off in front of me, you know.
No, he ain't.
Fine.
That's a curious thing. How tall is dude? He is. Now I'm curious. Drake, you are... Oh, it says here, yeah, 6'2".
All right, I can respect that. So let me understand this correctly, the way you're phrasing this. Drake is a very popular artist worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
He's the apple of a lot of people's eye, female and male.
Dude, the Drake fanboys weird me out, but that's another story.
He's rich, very, very rich. You know, he survived being a child actor, so
yeah, dude.
You know, there's something to be said for that, because a lot of people don't. So he's got all that going for him, and from what you're telling me, by virtue of this video that has hit the internets, Drake is, as the great Bernie Mac said, hung low.
Very low, apparently.
All right,
I was like, this is wild. What do you get the man who has everything?
Well, you know what? There's one thing he wants and he can never get, if I'm understanding correctly, and that's Kim Kardashian. So he's got all that money, he's got all that fame, he's got all that talent, he's got all those admirers, and he has all those inches, but he doesn't have the one. None of that is going to get him the one thing he wants, and that is Kanye West's ex-wife.
It always trips me out how these dudes don't understand. Like, when you send these pics and videos to these chicks, what do you think they're doing with those? You think they're keeping those to themselves? Of course not.
Well, my thought is that if you have the endowment below the equator that Drake has, and you also have, you know, the money and the thing, that he doesn't necessarily mind that his penis has been splashed all over Beyonce's internet.
I guess so.
Who does he have to answer to? No one. He's not married. I'm pretty sure his pops is okay with it. Maybe his mom is a little upset by it.
That's my boy.
Right, yeah. He's going to have to explain this to his kid at some point in time down the road, but definitely not now because he's a young kid. I mean, he's probably like, yeah, this ain't optimal, but shit, you know.
I guess I'm a rocket. I guess I'm a roll with it.
I do be packing. So, you know, fuck it.
I guess it could be worse. He could be rolling with that micro, and then maybe that's a whole
exactly right,
a whole different set of issues.
I'm sure he's like, "Hey, listen, you know, Pusher T just fucking took my lunch money in a rap battle. I bet you he won't say nothing about this." So yeah, you know.
What could you say? What could you say?
Exactly. Nothing.
We got a bunch of shit to kid. The big game is coming up this weekend.
Yes, you know,
it's still weird to say the big game instead of just saying the Super Bowl. Like when I see it on TV or whatever. And it's just weird. They should just quit playing. Let people say Super Bowl, man.
Man, you know the NFL is very protective about its intellectual property.
Weirdly so. Weirdly so. Just let them say Super Bowl. All right. Who you got and why? We might as well just kick it off with that.
I am taking, no surprise, I'm sure, to you and the regular listeners of this, the Quality Hand Podcast. I am taking the San Francisco 49ers. I'm going to say 31-28, Jake Moody with the game-winning field goal. I don't think it's going to be with triple zeros on the clock. I think he's going to be a true game winner, but I think Jake Moody is going to score the final points that put the Niners over the top. The Niners, they're, you know, they, and this is no, you know, this, analysis I'm about to give, there's nothing earth-shattering about it. They're playing a guy who is on his way in Patrick Mahomes to being the greatest quarterback of all time. And like great quarterbacks, all athletes, when you get into these winner-take-all situations, you have to play perfectly or as close to perfect as humanly possible. And the Niners are going to have to do much better in the two playoff games leading up to this Super Bowl. They cannot Jimmy Jack around in the first half as they did against Green Bay and Detroit and expect for Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs with a very good defense to allow them to get back into a football game. Andy Reid is too good of a coach to allow that to happen. Mahomes is too good of a quarterback. The rest of those Chiefs, those players are too good individually and too good as a collective unit. But I believe the Niners are capable of playing as close to a perfect football game as possible with the talent they have on defense. That defensive line has got to get going. They got to get serious about stopping the run. And the job they're going to have to do on Travis Kelce is, again, going to have to be perfect. If you take your eyes off of him for 1 second, Mahomes is going to flick that ball out there, and next thing you know, Travis Kelce is going for a first down or maybe more than that. And their rushing of Patrick Mahomes, it's going to have to be intelligent. It's going to have to be in unison, as they did against Jalen Hurts earlier in the season when the Niners went to Philly and beat the Eagles. You can't be out there freestyling and freelancing, think I got a free shot on him, I got to get him, because one quick move by Patrick Mahomes, next thing you know, he's down the field or he's, you know, got his eyes up and he's throwing the ball down the field to more than likely Travis Kelce. But the one, just from a pure football point of view, the one advantage the Niners have over the Chiefs is that the Chiefs are not a good team at stopping the run. And by all metrics, as good as that Chiefs defense is, they are near the bottom in stopping the run. The Niners are the best running team in the league statistically, and also how they're able to run with different personnel out of different formations and with different people actually running the ball, most notably Christian McCaffrey. But for the Niners to take advantage of their run game and Kansas City's lack of run game, they have to be in the right down and distance situations. So that gets back to playing perfect football. You cannot have pre-snap penalties. You cannot have things that get them behind the chains, because that will take away the Niners' ability to run the ball. If they're able to play close to perfect football, they should be able to do what they need to do offensively, keep the ball out of Mahomes' hands. And they're going to give up some points. They're going to give up some plays, but they have to make sure the points and the plays they give up are not of the killer variety. And I just think that they're capable of doing that on both sides of the football.
I agree with all that. The only thing that I would change is the fact that if it's going to be close, I'm giving the edge to Patrick Mahomes.
Sure.
Yeah. That's kind of where I just, you know, football is typically all about the matchups because some teams just play you well. And I do think that the Lions and the Packers, expose something in that 49er defense in terms of the running game. And I really like this kid, Pacheco, for for the Chiefs. The thing that really concerns me if I was a 49er fan is that they haven't been playing well in the postseason. They've been winning, but they haven't been playing well. And the Chiefs have been playing so well. And the 49ers have struggled at home against teams they were highly favored against. I believe the Chiefs were underdogs in every game. And they were on the road, and they won those games. That's that would give me some concern if I was a 49er fan. 49ers shouldn't be worried at all, because I think ultimately they have the more talented team overall. But boy, it's going to be close, and I just think that close game is going to come down to Patrick Mahomes making a play with Kelce, and that's going to send everybody home.
You know, everything you said about the Niners and how they have approached and gone about their business in the two games they played in the playoffs is absolutely right. But I want to go back to – and listen, the Chiefs, they went on the road. They won those games. This is to take nothing from them. But their opponents allowed the Chiefs to stay in those football games and win those games. And if you allow a team – that's coached by Andy Reid, that's quarterbacked by Patrick Mahomes, that has Travis Kelce at his disposal, and other good players on that team on both sides of the ball. If you allowed them to stay in that game, that's your own dumb fault. And I want to go back to Buffalo to start. Think about the mistakes that Josh Allen made. Think about the drops by Stephon Diggs. Right? Those drops, those mistakes kept Kansas City – the missed field goal kept Kansas City in the game. You keep giving these opportunities to a guy who's going to go down as the greatest quarterback of all time, and Patrick Mahomes, then you are basically giving him the gun to shoot you in the head with. Let's go to Baltimore. I watched, I might have said this last week, I finally got a chance to watch the AFC Championship game to just sit down and digest it. The Baltimore Ravens, the best running team in the National Football League, after the first two series of that game, the AFC Championship game, for some strange fucking reason, stopped running the goddamn football. It's the damnedest thing.
Yeah.
And then what eventually happened? Zay Flowers makes a couple of big fucking mistakes.
Yeah.
Lamar Jackson throws a couple of picks in his own end, or in their end zone, in Kansas City's end zone. He throws a couple of picks. Like again, they gave the Baltimore Ravens, the Kansas City Chiefs, the weapon to kill them with. You simply cannot do that. And just sitting last night with my TV partner, Dante Whitner, former Niners safety, we were watching the All-22, and he's pointing out stuff. And it just – I don't know what the Ravens were doing. We both just sat there just dumbfounded about how the Ravens approached that game from an offensive point of view. They did not play the type of football – again, damn near, if not completely perfect football that you need to play against a team as good as Kansas City with the quarterback as great as Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, I definitely don't disagree with that stuff, but I also feel like the response to that would be you could look at all four of those games. The two games that the 49ers played, they had a lot of luck in coming back. They had a lot of luck.
Well, but again,
the breaks have to go your way to win games.
It's the same concept, though. It's the Packers and particularly the Lions. The Lions are not as talented. We're not as talented as the Niners on both sides of the football. They're good football team, don't get me wrong, but not as talented on both sides of the football at the vast majority of the positions. But what did the Lions eventually do? They made the mistakes that gave the Niners life.
Right.
That kept them in that football game. Mistakes in coaching, a couple of drop passes.
That's my point.
You know,
but that's my point.
But when you're playing teams as good as the Niners, when you're playing teams as good as the Chiefs, with players as good as Mahomes, as good as Purdy, as good as Trent Williams, as good as McCaffrey, as good as Deebo Samuel, as good as George Kittle. When you play teams like that and you are the underdog, as Green Bay and Detroit were, you have to play perfect fucking football.
Yeah.
Or at least you cannot give your opponent the tools that will eventually lead to your ultimate demise.
Well, and that's why I don't think those types of things really matter in terms of my judgment of who's going to win. I won't go, well, you know, The 49ers got lucky, so you know I'm gonna downgrade them. No, the 49ers did get lucky, but you always need some luck when you're gonna win a game. Like that's absolutely not a big deal to me.
Luck is as part of sports as momentum,
yeah,
as analytics. There
were a number of interceptions dropped by both Green Bay and Detroit that could have been game changers. So I don't those things, I don't care about that stuff. I just look at how the teams are playing right now and those particular matchups. I think some of the other things that I really thought about, this actually came up last week and I didn't realize it, but the fact that the 49ers are 1-3 against the AFC is also something. That's not nothing. That's something. And it just so happened to be that those teams are also teams with pretty good running quarterbacks, which has also been a kryptonite to the 49ers when they had great defenses and they would still lose these quarterbacks who ran the ball well, who could be really crafty in the pocket. I don't think that, put it this way, I don't think this is a great matchup for the 49er defense. I think this is a great matchup for the 49er offense. I don't think it's a great matchup for the 49er defense.
Well, anytime you're dealing with Patrick Mahomes, it's not a great matchup for you. I don't care who your defense is unless it's the 85 Bears. Mm-hmm. Running quarterbacks are a problem for the Niners. They're a problem for everybody, though. That's why everybody's trying to get themselves
a running quarterback. But they have been a particular nuisance for the San Francisco 49ers.
That does stand out, particularly because the Niners, not this year in particular, but in previous years, their defense was really, really good and definitely better than their offense. It's reversed now. The offense is the tip of the spear for the Niners this year. The defense, not necessarily along for the ride, but the defense is behind the offense. But when the Niners were really, really good defensively, it was shocking to see them be so bad at dealing with running quarterbacks. It was in stark contrast to all of the other things they did so well defensively, for sure. But again, in my estimation, just running quarterbacks are it's a problem for everybody. That's why everybody's trying to get one.
That's true. But also, it has been a particular thing for these guys, even when they were great at their greatest. I think this will be a close game, and I agree it's going to be a close game. A lot of people think it's going to be high scoring. I have a feeling that it's probably not, even though it on the face of it, it probably should be. I just have a feeling it's not going to be that high scoring a game. I think this is going to be a defensive matchup for the entire thing.
Yeah, 24-21. I could see that as easily as you know, my 31-28. So,
what's the over under on it? It's like 45.
Look that up for you real quick. By the way, kids, don't gamble. The house always wins. I saw something that the casinos in Vegas in December made $4.5 billion, not million,
in December.
Billion in one fucking month.
That's what I'm saying, dude.
The casinos in Vegas. Wow.
That's what I'm saying. If you this is just a different subject, but this is how you know Donald Trump is a terrible businessman. He bankrupted a fucking casino, dude.
Hey, listen. you ain't lying, and it's, you remember the Maloofs that used to own
the Sacramento Kings. Yeah,
their family owned a beer distributorship in Northern California in the Sacramento Valley, in the San Joaquin Valley, and they also owned the Rio. Remember that?
That's right.
The Maloof brothers fucked that off.
Man.
Hard.
I don't know how you know it.
How bad to buttress your point? Do you know how bad you have to be at business
to fuck
off owning three of the most lucrative businesses in the world?
Insane.
A liquor distributorship, a casino, and a sports team. You have to be a special kind of moron. Times two, because it was the Maloof brothers, to fuck it up as badly as they did.
Unbelievable. Like, you should be able to, you should just be open up the doors and never look at anything again. That's what you should be able to do.
Yeah, you should be diving into piles of money like Scrooge McDuck.
Scrooge McDuck.
You should have a room specifically designed where it's just nothing but mounds of gold coins, and you can just dive right into it, butt booty ass naked.
And I sure would too, I ain't gonna lie.
Hell yeah. man, I do that too.
I do it. Yeah, I wonder. I haven't seen them yet, but the favorite part for me is always the prop bets, and I haven't seen any at all yet. But I'm looking forward to those because those are always fun.
The over under, by the way, is 47.5, and that is
47.5. Okay,
that's
okay.
What it opened at, and it has remained steady. And the line opened at 2.5, and it is. It got down to, I think it got down to 1.5, not too long after the NFC Championship game a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, it's 2.5 at most places. You can find it at 2 at Caesars, but you know. What's the difference between 2 and 2.5? About a half point.
Yes.
Yeah, I haven't seen any prop bets, but you know, it's the normal shit. You know, how long will the national anthem be?
Love it.
You could get some actual football prop bets too. How many interceptions? Will somebody run onto the field butt ass naked? Will there be, you know, some sort of wardrobe malfunction in the you know, in the halftime show, which will be performed by Usher.
Can't wait. Cannot wait. I don't care what these cats say. Some of these old heads, I'm thinking of Usher as an old head, but damn, he is at this point.
Yeah.
That's still one of the, still the best. Still one of the best performers you will see. Still Absolutely. One of the best. And he's going to wreck shop up in the Super Bowl.
He is, he's as close as we're going to get to Michael Jackson. I'm just talking about from, you know, from the actual
the talent. Yeah.
From the actual talent standpoint, not culturally or global impact, those days are over. Michael Jackson stands alone on that. Yes. I was on a station in Sacramento earlier this week, and I said, and I don't feel like this is a controversial statement at all, but Usher is he's black famous. White people know who Usher is, but Usher is universally beloved by black people. He is black famous.
Yeah.
And that is not a slam. That is not used to denigrate anybody.
We had him first.
We had him first and we love him unconditionally.
Yeah. That's facts.
And we will fight you behind some Usher. White people know who Usher is because, you know, of most notably,
his collaboration. He's a pop star.
Lil Jon and Ludacris. And he's a pop star. But Usher, after he is done with the Super Bowl halftime show, he is going to go from black famous to famous.
Well, I mean, he did give the world Justin Bieber, so there's that.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, he gave the world Justin Biebs. But Usher, he really blew up. He came into the quote-unquote mainstream with and that whole album. Mm-hmm. Was it Confessions? I think it was Confessions.
I think so, yeah.
But before then, he was primarily Mr. R&B.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I wouldn't quibble with that. He's definitely black famous. That don't mean white folks don't love him, but we had him first is what I always say.
Yeah.
Y'all never love him like us.
No, absolutely. You know, Usher, not that he is going to stray, but he can always come home.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Oh, my God. I don't know. I hate to bring up Club Shay Shay.
She told
Oprah, Monique, the comedian, said Oprah need to come back home, come back across the street. Now, clearly, Club Shay Shay with Shannon Sharp, NFL Hall of Fame tight end, and now media superstar. This dude is getting everybody. Is it his couch? Is it like he's just everybody's therapist? They just come in and just spill all the shit? Because this chick went on there and went off about D.L. Hewley, about Tyler Perry, about Oprah. She just went nuts. The good thing, though, is you know who D.L. Hewley is. He ain't going to sit back and just take you talking shit about
him. No, he ain't.
And boy, did this dude come back hard. She came out there with a nail, and he came back with that hammer, boy. And he burnt the one. Because the one thing about Monique, now listen, I've had a couple of experiences with Monique.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I feel fine talking about this. But I won't get into details, but she's a weirdo. Like, she's just kind of a weirdo, dude. And that's not good or bad, but she's kind of a weirdo. She had this real weird vibe. There's a very disingenuousness to her in her, like, fake my babies, and Jill even talked about it, and black man and sister and brother. Like when people talk like that, I'm automatically suspicious of them. Not that, how do I explain it? It's not that I don't trust those words. I just don't trust the person saying those words. Mm-hmm. When people say those things too much, it feels like you're trying too hard.
Yeah.
And so I had her on the show a couple of times, and the first time, fine, cool, you know, there's nothing special. The second time was just really, really weird vibe. And we had fun. We did an improvised Michael Jackson wannabe starting thing. I might even send you that clip one day. So that was cool. But dude, I'm telling you, there was something really weird about her, and I cannot put my finger on it. But she left. Everybody in the studio was going, was that weird? That was weird, right? That was weird. Okay, it's not just me. There was five of us in there. Like, it wasn't just me, right? Y'all felt the weirdness too. There was definitely something about it. And the fact that she's going off, and you know, she filed a lawsuit against Netflix because, you know, said she's being underpaid, et cetera, et cetera. Like, she's always mad about something. And unfortunately for her, she's not somebody who sells out a bunch of venues, man. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I can say this as the guy who was actually at the clubs. She wasn't selling out a bunch of venues. When she was spouting off about the Netflix deal, she was doing shows over in San Jose. She couldn't sell those out. These were not arena shows, Rod. These were club dates.
Yeah.
And she couldn't sell them things out. So it always struck me as weird. Like, wait a minute, you're asking this company to play you even close to what Dave Chappelle was getting paid, which is insane. But you really think you deserve anything close to that? You can't sell a club date. This dude is selling out stadiums and arenas. You can't sell a club date. Like, why would we be trying to pay you the same? And I'm not even to say that at one point Monique was a great comedian.
Yeah.
Like, she was a top-notch comic. But I still see her, like, doing stand-up no more. Like, and every time I see her on stage, it's really her just ranting. Like, she's kind of going down that Dave Chappelle hole where you're not really telling jokes no more. So I don't know. It just felt like weird to me with her just going off on Shannon Sharpe's show.
Well, you know, she definitely has an axe to grind, and the validity of her axe grinding, her claims, I don't know enough about her. I don't really particularly care to dive into it, but I know she's been out there, you know, saber rattling and all that stuff for a while. But I look at her and I say the same thing about Cat Williams. The old adage of, you know, if you wake up and you run across an asshole first thing in the morning, that sucks, but that's an inconvenience.
Yeah.
But if you keep running across assholes all day,
yep,
maybe you're the asshole.
Yeah,
you
man.
Dig what I'm saying?
No, it's facts.
And I the vibe I get from her, and the vibe I get from her complaints, because I'm trying to be fair, and I'm trying not to be dismissive while I talk about someone who I don't know and who's.
Yeah.
Plight I'm familiar with, but I don't really know it, and I don't really care. But it sure seems like she's got a problem with a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I'm always wary of those type of people, whether they are celebrities or whether they're non-celebrity, just normal people. If you're always complaining that I'm not getting a fair shake and this person is doing this, and this person is doing that, and why am I not doing that? For me, that's just, it's a turnoff, and I'm turned off because my mind immediately goes, and maybe, man, this is my fucking hang up and maybe I'm wrong. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But my mind always goes to, God damn, you're doing a lot of fucking complaining. And why is everybody out to fuck you? You don't.
Yeah.
I don't see.
Yeah.
Boy, you don't. I don't know if you're that important. You know?
Thank you. That's my exact words. What makes you so important that people have to go out of their way to get you all the time in every single situation? Everybody else is doing you wrong all the time. It's never anything you've done. I'm not, now listen, you could, it could be 100% true. You could be completely unlucky. You could be running into all the worst people in the world all the time. But just like you, when it's always someone else's issue, mm-hmm. I have to be skeptical about the person telling me the story.
And again, I feel the exact same way about Cat Williams. I mean, the entertainment value of Cat Williams on Shannon Sharp was the one thing that I gravitated towards. But you know what he was saying, and you know, all of these people are against me, and but I was just like, oh, dog, why do you have so many people that are against you? That just seems weird, you know?
Right.
But I to go to your original question, you know, Shannon Sharp's place in this media landscape, hey, good for him. I love it. I get entertainment out of it. I haven't consumed the Monique special like I did, or the Monique appearance like I did Cat Williams. I've gotten clips on the internet. I don't know if I'm actually going to sit down and watch the entirety of it. But I think that there's a couple of things with Shannon Sharp, him being a black man, it helps him with these black people who feel comfort and familiarity with him. That's great. Yep. That should be a part of the media landscape, being comfortable with the person you're interviewing, who's interviewing you, should be, you know, almost an inalienable right when it comes to this business. But I think also, there is, and I'm not saying that they're using Shannon or he's being a useful idiot in this regard, but I think they know that there's not going to be a whole lot of pushback.
Right.
There's not going to be. It's not a softball interview, but it's not one where you would get from Oprah, where she would she would push back, because she would go, well, why is that? Or she would probably ask the question that I'm asking, which is,
she would do some research.
Right. She would do some research, and she would ask the hard pointed questions of, well, your complaints, I'll say that they're valid, but why are all these people against you? Like, do you have something to do with this? Do you have any culpability when it comes to these awful fractured relationships you have? Shannon Sharp, for whatever reason, has not and will not do that. And you know what? For me, that's okay, because these people aren't politicians. They're not, you know, they're not, you know, televangelists who are making
Shannon's
money.
Not a journalist, so he's, I wouldn't expect.
But forget the journalist part. I don't care about that. I'm talking about the subjects. The people's feet you should hold to the fire and you should really push back on are people who can actually impact the lives of people in this country. Monique and Cat Williams and Country Wayne and Drewski or whoever, they're entertainers. They are not going to impact the lives of average Americans. So if it's not a real sort of, you know, pushback on some of the questions or some of the things that are being said, that doesn't bother me, because this is just fucking cotton candy. This isn't real journalism. This is not real life. It really doesn't matter. This is almost just fucking gossip.
Well, that's exactly what it is. I'm like, I mean, you're headed down like this Wendy Williams territory,
right? And exactly.
Which I don't love. I don't love it. But at least with Shannon, he is not the instigator in this.
Yes.
Stuff.
Yes.
And I kind of give him the pass. With Wendy Williams, it's blatantly, I'm out here to just talk some shit to people.
100%. Oh man, speaking of Wendy Williams, I've seen a couple of pictures, but woo boy. Hey,
dude.
God don't like ugly. That's the moral of that story with Wendy Williams, because she was a very bad, toxic, horrible person. And boy, the drop off and the fall off of her. But
hey, dude, karma's real, baby.
It is real, and it sure seems like she deserved it. And I know there's going to be some sort of Lifetime special or something that I will not watch. But Wendy is not in good shape physically. Damn sure doesn't seem to be in good shape mentally, not in good shape financially. And now she's crying, you know, a bunch of tears about, you know, how bad things are. And, you know, all I can say to that is, you fucked up.
Yeah, dude.
Don't be an asshole.
It is weird because, I mean, I hate to say it, you're not white. So you don't get to be like the Perez Hiltons of the world who could talk shit about all these celebrities and then turn around and have them be your best buddies.
No.
Nah, but nah.
No, you don't get that soft landing at all. Not at all.
No way. And so that is interesting because I saw the Monique thing. I saw the Wendy Williams thing, and that was the first thing I thought of. Like, wow, it's just fucked up to say, but I don't feel bad for you. You have been so shitty to human beings from outing, you know, Whitney Houston 30 years ago to all the shit. And I had a boy who worked in D.C. He was the intern and board op for the Wendy Williams show. And some of the stories he told me about her was like, oh, because he was, but that's before I knew. This is before any of us knew, but he said, man, she was terrible, blah, blah, blah. Really? Not Wendy Williams, she's the best. She's bad, terrible. I said, oh, okay. I was about to say his name. That means I'm too comfortable with you, Rod. I'm too comfortable on this here podcast thing. I'm about to get caught up. Good, man.
We'd had to do some editing. Well, you know what? We should probably stop right there before we
yeah, that's facts.
Say some things that we shouldn't say.
That's facts. Yeah, that is facts.
You can tell when we get together. Quality Hang, that's just the name of the podcast. Indeed, it is.
Wait.
Quality
I'm
hang.
Sorry.
Oh, yes.
Before you go, let me hit this thing.
Oh, yeah.
Because this has really been kind of a big story. Klay Thompson.
Yeah, well, he didn't get traded today as we record this episode of Quality Hang. Today's the NBA trade deadline. It has come and gone on this Thursday, February 8th. And Klay Thompson is still a Golden State Warrior. I don't think that is a massive surprise. And the Warriors are basically just kicking the can down the road until the offseason and figure out what they're going to do with Klay.
Yeah, dude. And, you know, Klay is one of the people who I would love to sit down and interview. I would love to have an interview with Klay because I don't think you're going to find really a kind of a more genuine, even thoughtful athlete.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the guy wears everything on his sleeve, and you can see that he's kind of all emotion, all heart, all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But he's also really thoughtful. And to see him in one of these interviews this past week, and they asked him how he felt about it, and he's like, you know, man, to go from being one of the best players to, you know, It's hard. It's really hard. And I could tell he was like really emotional about it. I thought he was going to cry, to be honest with you. And that was really something to see. And I've always kind of respected that about Klay Thompson. He puts pretty much all of his emotional crap out there. It's almost as if it's therapy for him. But he does not hold back when it comes to that stuff. And this is a really weird time for him. He's seeing the light at the end of that tunnel, obviously much sooner than Steph or Draymond. Because of those two injuries.
Yeah.
And it'll always be a, what might have been? What could have been?
Well, I mean, it's sad to see an athlete decline in real time and him come to the realization that the decline is happening. There's nothing he can do about it in real time. You hate to see that. And I understand this is easy to say because it's not my career. That is melting in front of everyone, but he had it pretty fucking good. you got four championships out of the deal.
Yeah.
You are going to be a Hall of Fame player. I know he missed, you know, he wasn't named as one of the 75 greatest players of all time, and that clearly and genuinely bothered him. And I understand that. But you're going to go down as one of the greatest to ever do it. And that's somebody who's riding Steph's coattails or anything of that nature.
Yep.
You were part of a duo that for a good chunk of time was fucking unstoppable. I think, you know, with him dealing with his career coming to an end in the moment, he can't step back and see hey man, while this sucks, I would think that this surpassed his wildest dreams in terms of what he was able to accomplish individually and as a member of the Golden State Warriors. You dig what I'm saying?
Absolutely. And I think that I'm playing psychologist, but I would guess that it's much easier to accept that you are on the decline, that you're coming to the end. And by the way, I'm not saying the dude is done. He's clearly got some game left in him. I'm not saying that by any stretch of the imagination. But I think what galls him the most is he was robbed of
those
natural progression of that career decline.
Yeah.
There's a natural progression that takes place. And
and
it hit him right at the peak of his career.
Yeah, I mean, he literally gave his body to the game of basketball. He sacrificed himself for the Golden State Warriors. And I again, while it's very easy for me to sit here behind this microphone and say this, I can't think of any more awesome and noble thing for an athlete to do. It sucks that it had to happen, but particularly the knee injury, the ACL injury.
Oh, man.
He gave himself up for his team. He did everything he could, and he paid close to the ultimate price in tearing his knee ligament. He did that for the Golden State Warriors and his teammates and the organization and the fan base. And he should be forever wrapped in the good graces of Warrior fans around the Bay Area, Northern California, the entire country, and the entire planet. Because, you know, a lot of guys talk about that, not a lot of guys be about that, and he was about it.
Yeah, I think that, and I think he will eventually get to that point where he does kind of go, you know what, I had it pretty goddamn good. He'll get to that acceptance, as they say, go through the whole grieving process. He'll get to the acceptance part of it, and he will go down, as you said, as one of the all-time great guards, one of the all-time great two-way players. And, you know, there's an interesting thread. It's interesting that these three guys, Steph Curry, Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, I think one of the things that really binds them is that each and every one of them was never expected to be anything.
Yeah,
and it's really interesting that typically when you find Hall of Fame players on one team, they're usually all expected to be pretty great. None of these guys were expected to be even all-stars, if you want to be honest about it, except for maybe Steph. But none of them was expected to be anything, and I bet you that is why that chip is on their shoulder, why the competition burns so bright within them.
100%.
And they have been all about making people pay, and I'm not mad at that. I want those types of guys on my team. And you've heard players talk about this, basketball players talk about it. A lot of guys don't love basketball. Mm-hmm. They love the trappings of the lifestyle, but they don't love the game. And those three guys, for good or for bad, those three guys clearly love that game. They love to compete. They love to win. They love to make people pay. And it's going to be really interesting when they all kind of are gone. And then we get back to seeing what real basketball life is with the Warriors. Real basketball life. And too many of them have forgotten. They got a little bit entitled and got a little bit too big for their britches. This is when you should be humble, buddy.
Yeah.
Because
no doubt.
Once Steph is gone, whoo-hoo, boy.
Yeah, man. Or, you know, there were a lot of people who weren't around, just literally don't remember the bad old days for the Golden State Warriors. And, man, is that about to be a bucket of cold water right in the grill.
Absolutely. y'all better get ready for it. Because I can tell you right now, if Klay or Draymond is traded and they go into a full-on rebuild, I don't think Steph is going to stick around for that shit.
Oh, boy. That's going to be an interesting discussion. And that is going to – that is going to hurt a lot of people's feelings in the Bay Area.
Yeah, man.
Absolutely. No doubt about that. No doubt about that.
Did you know that Jerry Rice has a son?
Yeah, that's Brendan.
I had no idea his son was at USC and was trying to be into the draft this year. No idea until yesterday.
Yeah, yeah. Here's the problem, though. It looks like he's going to run into what Michael Jordan's kids ran into. It's hard being the son of one of the greatest of all time.
Jerry Rice Jr., right? He tried to play ball.
Yep.
And it didn't, man, it's hard, bro. Yeah, it's hard.
Yeah.
And he's a big receiver. He's like 6'3 or something like that. So he's a big boy. But I don't know, man. And they were talking about drafting him with the 49ers. That's what the story was. I'm like, no, I do not want to be drafted by the Niners. That's me. Nope.
The Niners ain't gonna draft him. They're not doing no favors. Absolutely.
Can you hook me up? Get my boy on the team.
You know what? Didn't you play for the Raiders at one point? Go ask them.
Yes, sir.
Maybe the Seahawks will do it.
Yes, sir. But not the Niners, baby.
Just keep going down the list of teams that Jerry Rice played for. I think he might have had a cup of coffee with the Broncos at some point. Ask them. Maybe they'll do it.
I think he did. Here, I forgot about that.
Let me look this up real quick. That's going to bug me. So before we get out of here, let me look at Jerry.
Yeah, he might have did some Bronco shit.
I think at the end, he... Born October 31st, 1962. Oh, come on, computer, stop doing this. Yeah, Denver Broncos, offseason. He was in training camp with the Denver Broncos in 2005. So, yeah, there you go.
That's what it was.
You can go play for the Broncos. I got to go pack to get ready for Super Bowl Sunday in Vegas. I've gone to Vegas a million times, but I've never gone to Vegas for the Super Bowl because, well, this is the first time the Super Bowl has been in Vegas. And I consider myself to be a professional traveler, but trying to pack to do television during Super Bowl weekend in Vegas, I got to tell you, it is kicking my ass right now. So
why?
I got to pack suits. It's 30 degrees, so I got to pack coats. And we're going to be sitting outside doing the show a couple of times, so I got to bring gloves.
Shit.
And you know I got to bring all my shoes because I'm a fancy boy. I still got some packing to do. It is the Quality Hang podcast where we get together. It's not just a name, Quality Hang. Indeed, we do kick it Quality Hang style. Make sure you follow us on all the socials and email us at qualityhangpod@gmail.com. My brother, let's do it again next week. How about it?
Yes, sir. Have fun out there, man. Or at least try to have a good time.
I think a good time is going to be had. It was just a guess on my part. I mean, I'm going to work, but I'm still cool. All right,
it's got to be after Super Bowl. It's got to be a party.
Oh yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Right, okay. Okay.
Be good or be good at it. We'll see you.